Reflecting all of this spirits, when Stalin criticized Trotsky in the 1920s, he accused Trotsky of lacking sufficient heroism, lacking sufficient optimism, sufficient faith. In particular, he claimed that one of Trotsky's leading theories, the idea of permanent revolution, which assumed that success, final success of socialism in Russia depended on worldwide socialist revolution, a conviction we know Lenin also held. Stalin complained that this theory of permanent revolution was in fact nothing but a theory of permanent hopelessness and showed a lack of faith in what the Russian people could achieve. Similarly, in 1928-29, when Stalin and his supporters turned against the pro-NEP arguments of Bukharin and others who were then called the right deviation, he criticized Bukharin and the right for their pessimism. They too didn't believe in what could be accomplished. As you might see, there's something of a religious spirit to Stalin's thought. Not, of course, belief in God, which Stalin rejected, but a faith, and he often used this term, in the party, in the proletariat, in Russia, in what people could accomplish. We could also see a sort of religious spirit in Stalin's tendency to simplify and sacralize all ideas, especially Lenin's. One sees it in his famous book of 1924, The Foundations of Leninism, in which he tried to make Lenin's ideas very simple, almost like a type of catechism of beliefs. It also is visible in his efforts, also in 1924, to get Lenin's body after his death embalmed and even put on display in Red Square, in which what some critics were already beginning to call a communist temple in the middle of the Soviet Union. One can also see this religious spirit in Stalin's constant references to Lenin's work as a testament to be followed. In fact, the word he uses to speak of Lenin's work as a testament was the same word used in Russian to speak of the New Testament, a Zavet, and one must be true to Lenin's testament. We'll return to Stalin's personality and his ideas, but first it's worth pausing to understand how he could have acquired so much power and influence in the 1920s, in which these ideas became very critical. Perhaps the most important factor in giving Stalin the power to act on these ideas, on these instincts even, was the changing structure of the party itself and Stalin's individual place in this new structure. During the Civil War, the whole structure of the apparatus of the party was reorganized. Until then, the whole Communist Party was governed by a rather small central committee led by Lenin. Other members included Trotsky, Bukharin, Stalin also, and 11 others. In 1919, realizing they needed to have a greater apparatus to advance the revolution, to run the Civil War, to rule the country, this whole structure was changed. And instead of one central committee, which was relatively small, three bureaus of the central committee were formed, plus there still existed a larger central committee. The three bureaus were the Political Bureau, known as the Politburo, which made policy. This included Lenin, who was chair, Trotsky, Stalin, and a few Bukharin and a few others, including Kamenev and Zinoviev, who we recall earlier had opposed one-party rule, but now were welcomed back into the leadership. It included an organizational bureau, or an org bureau, which recruited members and made appointments and handled assignments of party members around the country and took care of purges when party members were seen as not doing their job properly. Stalin chaired the organizational bureau, the org bureau. He also was a member of the government as the Commissar of Nationalities. And finally, a very powerful secretariat was created, which handled all the paperwork for both the Politburo and the Org Bureau. Very quickly, the secretariat grew in power, became increasingly important. In fact, by 1921 already, the secretariat essentially had gained responsibility, indeed usurped most of the everyday work of the organizational bureau, of the Org Bureau. It handled membership, who could become a member of the party. It handled appointments to various positions, reassignments, purges. And Stalin, who was seen as a good organizational man, loyal to Lenin, not necessarily a great intellectual, so not to be put in major policy-making positions. Stalin was made general secretary, the head of the secretariat, in 1922, though he also remained on the Politburo and the Org Bureau.